Hi, this is Leading With Your Feminine Self with me, Mel Urquhart, the podcast where I discuss all things that have led me to who I am as a woman to date. With a background in fitness and holistic well-being, I explore how life situations have shaped me along the way. Join me each and every week when I discuss topics and issues that I and other women have encountered along the journey. Each week, we'll be discussing topics that have had an impact in the lives of women and how it has helped shape their feminine identity. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Leading With Your Feminine Self with me, Mel Urquhart. Hope you've had a fantastic week. We are in May. This is beginning. This is the ripe time for all things fresh and new. Yes, we had a bit of a rainy April, but now I feel that it's getting warmer. Not just looking warm, it's actually feeling warm. So again, with that feeling of warmth, I'm ready to go. I hope you're ready to go as well. There are so many things I want to talk about in terms of how life as a female has given so much learning opportunities along the way. Before I get onto this week's topic, I want to say thank you to everybody, as always, for streaming, downloading, sharing, commenting, liking, and engaging in every episode of Leading With Your Feminine Self. I appreciate everybody that's taken the time out to tune in with me and listen to what I'm saying, engage in the comments that I pose at the end, just reflect upon things that may be beneficial to you. So again, thank you very much. This week, I will be discussing owning your narrative, taking control of your story, and defining your own path. Taking control of who you are and how you define yourself is so important. It gives you understanding, it gives you substance, it helps you to identify what matters to you. I like to always start from the beginning, so let's go. Let's start at the basics. What does it mean to own your own narrative and why is it important? What it means in essence is that you define who you are, why you are here, what you believe in and what you want to do, and where you want to go. You just have to write a set of narratives, or you just have to be clear about what these narratives are to you, what others want to know about you. People want to know who you are. What do you stand for? When you're able to define certain things about yourself, it makes you more full. It gives you direction about how you choose to live your life going forward, and it helps to direct your path. This is not easy by any means. However, when you're committed to finding out who you are and what you believe, it then leads you to what you want to become and how you're going to do it. As you discover what these narratives are, it can sometimes be a struggle or a tug of war in a way between owning your narrative and the influence of social norms and expectations. For example, I remember that going to school, going to uni, getting a degree and having a job, you worked until you got a pension. That was the societal norms and expectations. That was the path that my sisters and my brother followed. You go to school, get a good job, stay there, get your house, wait for your pension. There was job security. That helped society's perception, that would help society and the economics. It was beneficial and people believed it and adhered to it. Then go a decade or so afterward, things had changed. People began to develop entrepreneurial skills. They began to be self-employed. We're having a business beforehand was a different type of scale. So therefore, people that were trying out businesses or trying new ways of having an income as opposed to the conventional way were having to come across certain societal norms and expectations that weren't fulfilling. They were going against what was expected of them. That is one example of how, just on a fundamental economic level, there can be challenges in defining that. Some people are comfortable and happy with pursuing that way of life and some want to try another route. And over time, there's been a lot of respect to those that are trying other alternative routes for revenue and income. But again, they had to be steadfast in their belief and their conviction in owning their path and destiny, but going against societal norms and expectations. With stepping away from expectations that are portrayed in the media and society, there's been a lot of those. And for the people who have stepped away from the norm and find their own way of doing things, I commend and applaud everybody. We could talk about the family. There was a time where if you weren't married and had a child, you would be scorned upon by society. Your life would be over. There wouldn't be opportunities to have a job, have a career, own a home. Now, that is more than doable. Many women do, and it's not frowned upon. It is embraced. It is appreciated. That's just from that aspect. Personally, I remember going back to school days where we were in secondary school and we were talking about what we wanted to do and how we wanted to live our lives. I was very focused upon having a career, traveling, being very independent because I looked at my older sisters who had traveled, had their degrees, were working, and they were very independent, very powerful and confident women outside of relationships. And I wanted to be just like that. That was my inspiration. That was my role models. Where some of my friends agreed and had different opinions. Ultimately, there was a diverse perception of how our journeys as young women could be, and that was the exciting thing. We weren't scared to be open because we were living in a time where you could have different choices, and every choice was respected in its own ways. Some had just begun and beginning to make an effort and have more impact. It was going to happen, and it was happening. And younger women were looking at those ways of living as an opportunity to explore themselves outside of the traditions of getting married and being at home. And again, it had changed, but there was a lot of growth and maneuver to still come about, which was very exciting at that time. When you're able to step in that element of authenticity and embrace it and be in alignment to your true self, you can't help but be excited because you're breaking the norm. You're doing what's true to you as an individual at that time, but also you're learning how not to conform, not trying to be a rebel or anything like that. Life is giving you an opportunity to shape it as you want, so take it. In some ways, in order to understand how to create narrative ownership, we can look at the understanding and embracing of agency and empowerment. Agency, on one hand, is referring to the capacity of individuals or groups to act and make decisions autonomously, whereas empowerment involves giving individuals or groups the ability to make choices and take action to improve their own lives and circumstances. When you have an understanding of what those things are and how you can implement them to your ownership, it gives your path creation a different way. How do you choose to construct the way you want to live? It can only be done by you. So I have to emphasize the importance of being proactive in the steps that you take. The steps that you take will give you the results that you're going to see. So pursue your goals and your dreams, but taking those micro steps will give you macro results. And without having a structure for that, it's going to be a little bit more difficult. You'll get there, but it could be a little bit more challenging. On this path of life, we're going to come across many things that can get in the way, that can be a challenge, that can just obstruct us sometimes. Self-doubt, fear, fear of judgment, and internalized beliefs are all elements that are real. When you start something new, you're going to have an element of self-doubt because you maybe haven't done it before. But in order to get better at it, an overcomer of these things, you have to start. No one gets it right the first time. I mean, gosh, when I first held my child, I'm telling you, I thought his head was going to drop off because I had no idea what I was doing. The anxiety of being a mother, holding a baby for the first time, not just another baby, somebody else's child. So if anything was to go amiss, they would be there to catch them. I had to learn how to hold my baby and how to give him the security that he needs to figure out that what I was doing was the wrong or right thing. That was really scary. I was doubtful. Obviously, over time, you get better. You understand how to hold. You understand how to nurture and care. However, in the beginning, that was not the case. Even learning to drive. Who was a driver here when they first got in the car stalled? I know I did. I stalled, I can't even count the amount of times. I had to overcome my fear. I had to get over that doubt. I had to believe that I could do it in order to get the result that I wanted. I needed to learn to drive. So I had to deal with it. I had to do what was needed to get the result that I wanted. Without action, it wouldn't be done. If I let that fear consume me, I wouldn't have got my driving license. It's as simple as that. Through practice and learning to be on the road, obviously I'm a better driver now. I hope so. I had to take the steps. That's what happens when you're overcoming obstacles and you're shaping who you want to be. The main thing for me, and for other people that I've spoken to, probably you know this yourself, be as clear as you can about what you want. Do your best to find resources to support you with that information. Have a plan, what it is that you want to achieve. Like everything, there's steps to get there. If you know the people have done it before you, find out who they are. Get to connect in some way. Social media. What do they do? Learn their habits. Find out the things that they've done to get them where they are and learn. Get support. Find a mentor. There are various ways that you can learn things and embrace new understandings of things because that's where you want to go. And of course, it can be done. So be kind to yourself. Give yourself a plan, definitely. The final thing I would say about looking and creating and developing your own path is being kind to yourself, having self-compassion and resilience. The importance of self-compassion is fundamental. Self-compassion is being kind and understanding towards ourselves when we feel. Self-compassion is being kind and understanding towards ourselves when we suffer, fail, or feel inadequate, rather than ignoring our pain or bombarding ourselves with self-criticism and unkind words. Things will happen. Challenges, life, there are delays that you cannot always be in control of. We have to have an element of resilience to be able to adapt well in the face of adversity, trauma, tragedy, threats, or even significant sources of stress. Things can stress you out, cause you to be fatigued, annoyed, frustrated. It happens. but don't forget to be kind to yourself in the process. We always want to be somewhere else. Our biggest challenge nowadays is what's the next big thing? Where can we get to after we've completed this goal? Take time. Acknowledge what you've done so far. Just starting things, beginning, taking that initial step, celebrate that. Keep going, and every step is worth being proud of. Be proud of yourself. Not everything's going to be big and massive. It just takes bit by bit, you build up and you get there. All I want to do this week was to encourage you to look at what's important to you, to look how you're going to cultivate your ways of life and how you're going to design your path. I've discussed understanding narrative ownership, breaking free from external expectations, embracing agency and empowerment, overcoming obstacles and reshaping narratives, and finally, cultivating self-compassion and resilience. I hope you've enjoyed today's topic, and I cannot leave without giving you three questions to think about. Firstly, what's your narrative at the moment? Have they changed from 2, 3, 5 years ago? Secondly, once you've assessed your narratives at the moment, find out what steps you can take next. What can you actually do to make that path of yours clearer and coming into your life right now? And finally, what acts of self-compassion do you give to yourself if you don't achieve a goal or if you're a bit delayed? Being kind to yourself is one of the best ways to reflect, recuperate and begin your next phase. That's it for me this week. Thank you for joining me and giving me your listening ears again. I appreciate your time. I hope you're able to reflect on the topics that I've talked about, use the questions that I've mentioned, and just see if you can negate anything more from it. What does it bring up for you? I'd love to hear your thoughts and feedbacks on any of the episodes that I've done since the beginning. You can always go back and listen. I've done over 30 now, so you've got ample to get into. If you want to do a binge, then why not? I can also be contacted on all social medias under Garden of Self. If you feel to look at our products on www.gardenofself.co.uk, then you can look at our self-care products that you can incorporate into your regime. Until next time, take care of yourself. Bye-bye for now. Thank you for joining me for this episode of Leading With Your Feminine Self. I've been your host, Mel Urquhart. Please stay tuned and subscribe to wherever you get your podcast from. Be sure to follow us on Instagram, TikTok and Facebook, all under Gardener Self. If you have any questions, please leave them in the comments and I'll look to add them into future episodes. Be sure to follow and leave a review on Apple or Spotify. This podcast was a production of Garden of Self and was produced by The Podcast Boutique.